Thank you. So our next presenter is Dr. Colleen Creedon. She's a postdoc fellow at Emory University, Department of Behavioral Sciences and Health Education. And our presentation is The Influence of Risky Male Partners on African-American Adolescent Females' HIV-Associated Risk Behavior.
Good afternoon. Dr. Wingood's presentation is going to be hard to follow. I don't have any interactive games or anything, but hopefully I will provide you with some informative information. I had to put this here. I have no disclosures or financial relationships to disclose. So, as you've gathered from the last two presentations, HIV within African American communities is highly prevalent. Approximately 64% of women living with HIV and AIDS are African American. Specifically among this population, HIV is most frequently transmitted through heterosexual contact as opposed to intravenous drug use or homosexual contact. In terms of those at greatest risk, African American females represent a high-risk group. Moreover, during adolescence, social relationships are vital in shaping early risk behaviors, as well as perceptions about sex and susceptibility to sexually transmitted diseases. The most powerful relationship context during adolescence is perhaps the sexual relationship, the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Sexual relationships in particular with partners who are characterized as high risk can play an important role, and they may further exacerbate HIV risk among those adolescents. So what characterizes a risky male sex partner? Research has indicated that the age of partner is associated with HIV risk behaviors among adolescent females. In particular, adolescent females who have a partner who is at least 2 years older than them or more are more likely to acquire a sexually transmitted infection. They're also more likely to report never using a condom during their most recent sexual episode, or never using a condom consistently over time. They also have a higher odds of reporting unprotected vaginal sex in the last 30 days, and they're also at an increased risk of pregnancy. An additional characteristic of a high-risk male partner is incarceration history. Incarceration may contribute to HIV-associated risk behaviors by disrupting stable or healthy relationships and promoting riskier relationships. Even short durations, less than 1 month, so even as little as 10 days, have been associated, have been associated with high-risk partnerships between males and females. Men who have been incarcerated are more likely to engage in concurrent sexual relationships, and by concurrent I mean have sexual relationships with at least two or more females. Also, men who have a history of incarceration are more likely to use controlled substances such as marijuana, alcohol, or other hard drugs. They're also more likely to engage in transactional sex, which means having sex for drugs or money, as well as if they're incarcerated, a history of incarceration, should I say, is strongly associated with HIV and STIs. So the final characteristic of a risky male partner that will be discussed today is that of sexual concurrency, and I already mentioned that in the last slide, and this is having sex with at least two or more partners. So a male who has concurrent sexual partners has been positively associated with incarceration history, so they go hand in hand. So if you've been incarcerated, you're more likely to have sex with two or more people simultaneously, as well as if you have concurrent sex partners, you're more likely to have been incarcerated in the past. They're more likely to report an STI. Males with concurrent sex partners are less likely to use condoms during intercourse and also more likely to use drugs or alcohol as a precursor to their sexual experience. So our particular study aim was to explore the relationship between African American adolescents reporting that they had a risky male partner and then their own HIV-associated risk behaviors. We decided to define risky male partner in this study as a male who has recently been incarcerated or who has concurrent female sexual partners, indicated by the little girls giggling over there. I chose to define it as this because prior research has already indicated the link between an older male partner and HIV-associated risk behavior. The research that's out there on incarceration and sexual concurrency is primarily among older men. So I wanted to see if that same relationship existed among adolescent females and their partners, who are mostly adolescents, but some of them are right in the early adulthood. So our primary objectives were to recognize the behavioral risks associated with having a high-risk partner, as well as to look at the differences between adolescents who have a risky partner and those who do not. So all data was obtained for this study from adolescents who were participating in a randomized controlled HIV prevention trial, similar to what Dr. Wingood was discussing earlier. It was a group-based intervention. Data was collected, a variety of data was collected, inclusive of socio-demographic information, psychosocial mediator data, partner history, self-reported sexual history, and all of this was done via a CASI, or automated computer-assisted survey instrument. So all of the adolescent females had a computer. They sat there and filled out this survey. They were also tested for three STIs at the time of their baseline assessment, and that was chlamydia, gonorrhea, and trich. So in order to participate in the randomized control HIV prevention trial, you had to be an African-American female, 15 to 21 years old. You have to have had unprotected sex in the last 60 days. You could not be pregnant or trying to get pregnant within the next year, and you had to be unmarried. So the total sample was 715. All of the participants were recruited from three public health reproductive teen clinics in the Atlanta metro area, and the mean age was 17. So in terms of the analysis, univariate and bivariate analyses were done, primarily t-test and chi-squares, to assess the group differences between those females who self-reported a risky male partner and then those without a risky male partner. Interestingly, among our sample, approximately 42%, which is high, identified themselves as having a risky male partner. So if we look at the girls who reported having a risky male partner, it's important to note that they reported less school attendance than those without a risky male partner. They also reported smoking cigarettes more. They had more instances, or reported more instances, of emotional abuse, physical abuse, forced sexual contact, as well as depressive symptomatology. So there were some definite differences between the two groups. Oops, wrong way. So this slide just indicates the different variables that were assessed. There were a number from frequency of sex while high or drunk in the past 60 days, which is clearly an HIV-associated risk behavior, while having sex while your partner was high or drunk, marijuana use, alcohol use. How much do you talk about sex with your partner? So I wanted to look at partner communication frequency, especially among those girls who were reporting risky partners and those who didn't. Is the communication frequency higher or lower? Also, sexual adventurism, as well as a host of other ones on the other side, which I won't read for you. So all of the data was obtained and asked on a within the past 60 days time frame. So here were our significant differences. There were significant differences in terms of marijuana use, adolescent females reporting a risky male partner used marijuana more than those who did not report a risky partner. They also had more sex while high or drunk, reported more alcohol use, and had a greater fear of condom negotiation, and all of these were significant. So our findings suggest that HIV-associating risk behavior among African-American adolescents in this sample is related to their involvement with risky male sex partners. Risky male partners, especially those that have been recently incarcerated or are having concurrent sex, appear to negatively influence their female partners on multiple levels. So in order to help reduce HIV-associated risk behaviors among this group, preventive interventions should address the following. And all of these are related to the partner. And each of these may impede the ability to practice safe sex. And they are incarceration history, substance use, physical and sexual abuse, concurrent sexual relationships, as well as fear of communication and condom negotiation. And all of those were related to our significant findings. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have our next presenter. I really don't want to mess this up again. Thank you.